So it's kind of fitting today as I begin my sermon and as we begin the series that we have just launched and sent out a volunteers and mission team. They are out in Utah and they're going to be doing work out there at the UMCOR West Depot. And that means they're sorting and packing boxes so that in the face of an emergency, a natural disaster, a hurricane, a flood, those supplies can go quickly wherever they are needed. So our team is out there doing good work this week. So keep them in your prayers as well. It was on a plane to another volunteer's mission experience earlier this summer that I happened to receive a word from God. Now, we hope that our kids, when they receive their Bibles, they're going to read their Bibles carefully and listen through Scripture to God, and I'm a big believer in that. I read my Scripture all the time. But sometimes God just shows up, right? And God speaks to us through a person. And in this case, God spoke to me through a Southwest Airlines napkin. You know, I love this culture at Southwest. They're kind of playful, and their announcements tend to be fun, and it's all the way through their advertising and the posters and even down to the napkins. And so as I was served my Coke that day, I took the moment to read my napkin. In a world full of no, we are a plane full of yes. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. What a great thing. Now, as a pastor, I can't go anywhere without thinking about how can I take that good free advertising and apply it to the church, right? They have people who paid a lot of money probably to come up with that line. Why can't we in the church make use of it? And so immediately my mind went to, in a world full of no, what would it be like to be a church full of yes? What would it be like not just to be a plane full of yes, but a church full of yes? And hence was launched this series, and I flew again on Southwest just a couple weeks ago. I was going out to Kansas City, and I wanted to have some of these napkins back once we had set out our series for the next few weeks. And I asked my flight attendant, her name is Nini, and she was very pleasant with me the whole time, and I told her what we were doing back at our church. I said, would you mind if we could have just a couple napkins so I could use them as like a visual aid for my sermon? And so I thought maybe I'd get a handful of napkins. But she went back, and she got me a whole stack of napkins, only some of which are left because I've been giving them out all day. So this is what's left. You still have some if you'd like. But on it was the note, and it was the note that was the thing that touched me. She had taken the time to say, we love our customers. Thank you. She was thanking me for asking her for something that I could bring back to my church. And she signed it from the flight crew from Phoenix, Flight 1751. And I will remember her, and I'll remember that act of kindness. It was over and above. If she could have just handed me just a couple napkins. But here she was sort of living into their mantra, right? Here was their mantra that we want to be a plane full of yes. When somebody asks us for something, we want to exceed expectations, right? We want to do something more. What would it be like to be a church full of yes? A kind of church that exceeds expectations when people ask something of us. Now, to start to answer that question, I can't think of any better place to go in the New Testament than Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul has kind of a difficult relationship with some of the churches, and so it's reflected in some of the letters. Some of the letters have more of a scolding tone, like, how in the world can this be going on? Didn't I teach you this, and now you're living this way? But there is none of that in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is the most tender, most brimming with love and encouragement letter that Paul writes, I think. And because of that, I think I find myself returning to it over and over again. Last fall, as a matter of fact, you might recall, we did a whole series on the book of Philippians, one chapter at a time. It's a nice short book, four chapters, right? Everyone can read that book. But in the first chapter, we hear these words that set the tone for the whole rest of the letter. Every time you cross my mind, I break out in exclamations of thanks to God. What a wonderful way to feel about somebody or some group of people, that when you think of them, you break out in exclamations of thanks. Each exclamation is a trigger to prayer. A trigger to prayer. In other words, he's saying yes, right? What an affirmation of this community of faith and the witness that they are providing in that region for Christ. What an affirmation. He goes on. He says, there's never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this good work in you is going to continue it and bring it to full flourishing in you. So it makes it clear that it's not all about the church in Philippi. It's not just that they are really super cool people. It's that they are allowing God to work in them and through them. And so it's the God who has started this good work is going to continue it well past what they're doing now. This is not a church that's going to rest on its laurels. Any church that thinks it can rest on its laurels is going to find themselves dying. That's just the reality, right? You have to constantly be relying on the power and the strength of God's Spirit working in you if we're going to have anything to offer the world. That is a giant yes. The God who is in you is doing these good things. It's not just you. It's God who is doing these things in you. And then finally, this affirmation. So this is my prayer that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. You'll not only love much, but well. He goes on to say, I don't want this gushy, sentimental kind of love. I don't want a Hallmark kind of love. That just sounds good in a card. It sounds like a pithy saying. I want a love that is durable and strong. A love that is consistent and unconditional. A love that will be there in tough times and in good times. Not a sentimental kind of love. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits for the soul. And when we do that, here's the good news, friends. We point to Jesus. We make Jesus attractive to others when they see the love of Christ living in us. It's not about us, friends. It is about what God is doing in us. It is about the love of Christ coming to life in us. That's what it means to say yes. And Paul is affirming that. Paul is not only just affirming their gifts, but affirming all the stuff that God is doing in them and through them as well. So friends, here's the journey that we're going to be on in the next few weeks. Today, I just want to plant this seed. I want you to start to imagine what this means in your own life. Imagine what it means in our church. And I'm going to have you do some work in my sermon today. It's not just because Carissa's gone. I'm getting lazy. I want you to know that. I want this whole series to be much more of a dialogue than just a monologue. I don't want you just to sit there and receive. I want you to be part of the conversation. So here's where we're going to go. Next week, we're going to talk about how do we as a church say yes to our children and our youth. And we do that in a myriad of ways. We were doing it in church at 9:30 when we gave out those Bibles today. We're going to do it later today when we have our kids work right alongside of us at Rise Against Hunger, because we're teaching them the ways of servanthood, right? We're going to be doing it when we launch another family mission trip. The sign-up is due for that today. And so that is another way we're investing in the lives of our kids. We're going to talk about that next week. So I'm going to have a conversation with Lee and with Erica throughout the morning. I'm not sure who's going to be at which service, but you're going to hear more from them about how are we investing in saying yes to our youth and to our children. How is your church, how are you as part of this church saying yes to children and to youth? Then on All Saints Sunday, we're going to talk about how do we say yes to the worship life of this congregation? How do we worship with the whole communion of the saints? When we gather in worship, when we sing our songs, we are gathering across the ages, really. We make a bold proclamation that it's not just the people that are in this room that are worshiping God, but that we are really mystically linked with the saints of God. And so on that Sunday, we're going to be talking about that. What does it mean to be linked with all the saints of God as we worship together? And looking at some texts in Revelation that talk about how we, the living and the dead, unite in our worship of God. And then the next 2 weeks are going to be talking about how do we express that love outside of ourselves? How do we live with open-handed generosity? And how do we say yes to the church in terms of all of our gifts, our whole selves? How do we say yes to being a participant and not just a spectator? Not just somebody who shows up occasionally or when it's convenient, but how do we live and act as those people who have said yes to God consistently and yes to this body of Christ? And how do we serve and love together? So here's where your part comes in. There's a blue insert in your bulletin today. On the one side, it is a great reminder that next week we're going to be celebrating Dave and Nicola. If you turn one of these in today, there are extras out there. You can still take another copy home and put it on your refrigerator. But here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to look at these questions or these possibilities. These aren't the only possibilities. But here's the real question. How has Severna Park United Methodist Church helped you to say yes? Yes to Jesus. Yes to serving other people. Yes to the fact that you are a child of God. How has this church helped you to believe that and to claim that and to live that? How has this church helped you to share more freely of your gifts? How has this church, you fill in the blank, helped you say yes to something else? And so what I'd like you to do is take a few minutes now. Nicola is going to provide us some music as you meditate and reflect on this. And if you want to write down a sentence or two as you think about it, if you want to carry on this conversation with me through the week, I would love that too. It's not meant to be just now, and it could just start the conversation. If you'd rather text it to me, text me 240-672-1321. That's my personal phone number, and you can text me what you're thinking. And maybe some of you would be even willing to be part of a video that we would share in a broader setting, or just a one-on-one conversation. That's okay too. So however you'd like to be comfortable sharing your story. Because, friends, we have a church full of people who say yes to God regularly. And I am so grateful for that. Because I have friends and colleagues who serve churches that say no all the time. That is no fun. Byron, is that any fun?
No fun.
No fun. That is no fun. Byron is a district superintendent for how many years?
Six.
6 years. And believe it or not, there are churches that say no more regularly than they say yes. I've been so blessed over the course of my ministry to be part of congregations who say yes consistently. And this is, you are a congregation that says yes consistently. But how do you personally, how has this church helped you to say yes in your own spiritual journey? Take a few minutes and reflect on that. I'm wondering if there's anybody who might be willing to share what they wrote, or just a piece of what they wrote. At the 8 o'clock service, somebody talked about the fact that they were invited to teach a Bible study many years ago, and they said, I didn't know anything about the Bible. Like, who was I to teach a study? And then they ended up teaching 12 disciple classes over the time, because somebody asked them, and they said yes. Somebody else said, you know, I said yes, and I figure that I'm willing to try it, and at least God will know that I've tried. And then Tracy Emerson was sharing at the 9:30 service about how her son, her 2.5-year-old son, says yes to this church because he comes into this place bounding in or just drives by this church and says, this is JP's house. This is my house. This is my church. Like making a statement. That's his way of saying yes. Anybody, has this church helped you to say yes to God in any significant ways, or yes to serving, or yes to something in your life? Anybody? You can just turn in the blue forms too. That's all right. Heather.
Well, this church has helped me grow in so many ways, going back for a couple of decades, starting with this gentleman over here, and Reverend Lee back there, and all the people who have led us over the years. But most recently, this church has helped me grow in learning how to remove the line between my Sunday self and myself in the world, in finding ways to use my growing faith as part of learning how to be part of a reconciling relationship in the world, issues of social justice, issues of finding ways to acknowledge and process pain and hurt and need that I hadn't really experienced before. It's been life-changing.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. One of my other favorite Hollies.
Hopefully at least the second favorite, right? So my yes was due to Chris and Nicola and all the members of the choir community here who were so warm and welcoming and encouraging and allowed me to say yes to finally letting go of my fears of singing in public and share my gifts, small though they may be, with this church community and with God.
Thank you. Any others? Ashley. And again, if it's hard to say it out loud, maybe you can put it on paper and just put it in the offering plate or follow up with me this week.
This is my yes. I'm speaking on a microphone. I've always been involved in the music here since my family started coming my senior year of high school. But I can really say it's only been within like maybe the last 2 years that it's started to mean more than just songs. And I've branched out and actually last summer said yes to my mother, God speaking through her to join the 9:30 praise team. And now with much reluctance and hesitation, I'm finally getting to the point where I'm saying yes to being a worship leader and actually speaking and trying to give a message and lead the songs. So that's my yes.
Our yes often comes as a bunch of small yeses, doesn't it, along the way? It's a continuum of yeses. And it does take people, and that's the common thread that I've heard all morning long, is it often takes someone to mediate God's presence for you, someone to invite you to take that next step, whether it was a Lee Farrell or was it somebody in a Sunday school class or whether it was somebody in the music ministry or whoever it was God's voice that got mediated through someone here inviting you to do something you didn't think you could do. And now you take that next step and you find the joy of that. So I hope that we will continue to share these stories. Oh, are you just messing around with your... Oh, wait. No, it was a really cool dance move that you were doing there, Lori. So, but I do see somebody back here. You're off the hook only because there's someone back here, Lori. But you think of a good answer for next week.
My yes is Mr. Chris and helping me be able to sing in the church and... performing and singing and doing drums and instruments.
That is very cool. And I get to hear you guys rehearse all the time, which is really fun. And I get to see your parents beam with joy all the time, which is great. Well, I hope that we'll continue to share these yeses with each other. Again, make that part of your offering today as we bring our gifts before God. Before we get to there, I just have two final thoughts. Whoops, oh, sorry. Here it is. So I was at a seminar a couple weeks ago, And the seminar is about thriving churches and thriving communities. And these were churches and nonprofit organizations that were doing really good stuff in the world. And these were churches that were not in their own little silo. These were churches that were thriving because they were connected to the community. They were not only having worship on a Sunday, but they were offering amazing school tutoring programs. And they were feeding the hungry, and they were partnering to provide jobs in their area. So it was more than just church on Sunday. It was something that was spilling out. And one of the most important things that the presenter said was at the very beginning, he said the common thread across these stories and these vignettes that he was sharing, he says churches that fail to thrive seem to put themselves at the center of the story. It's all about themselves. There's an inward focus, right? That they are part of, they are the story. Churches that thrive put God at the center of the story and want to be part of what God is doing in the world and what God is doing in individual lives and what God is doing in this broader community. And I think this is a church that where we strive to put God at the center of the story. Like Paul was saying, it is what God is doing in us that matters, this good work that God continues to do in us. And then one final story, and it comes with a thank you note that appeared in our mail this week with a dollar bill. Now, every amount matters here. But this particular note caught my attention. Beth brought it into my office, and she said, here's an interesting one, Ron. It's just a thank you card. It says, I visited your garage sale. I attempted to purchase a deeply discounted wooden stand, but was a few cents short. Mr. Mel demonstrated the love of Christ and let me have the item anyway. Many thanks again, not so much for the item, but for the loving kindness. You see, it wasn't the wooden stand that made the difference. It was the encounter, right? It was when this woman brushed up against our church, she found grace. And I want it to be that way for anybody who walks through these doors on a Sunday morning, or anybody who's connected to our preschool program, or any guest that will be with us at Winter Relief, that they might know that this is a church overflowing with yes. Yes to God, yes to love of our neighbor, yes to them, and yes to believing that we, all of us are children of God together. I hope that you will join me on this journey as we consider what it means to be a church full of yes. Thanks be to God. Amen.